wanted to look at a different aspect of prayer than we have been looking at tonight. And that is the aspect of prayer that has to do with our real dependence on God. There is a relationship between how we view God in general and specifically with regards to our lives, and then how it is that we approach Him in prayer. There is a basic view about God in the Scriptures in which He is assigned a power and a direct control over all of His creation at, in some sense, the lowest level. For example, in Acts 17:25, this is Paul to the Greeks, and he is wanting to describe God to them. And 16 here. And he says a couple of things which are appropriate to this topic. Acts 17:25 says, he's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. There is a level of control there which basically says that I am being sustained on a moment-by-moment basis by God. It's a parallel passage to what Paul says about the Lord Jesus in the first chapter of Colossians. It says, in Him all things consist, all things are upheld. When you and I have that as not just a piece of knowledge tucked away somewhere, but as a working view of the God who has saved me and is saving me, it as I say, affects a prayer. When we see that God is not just, as I say, Savior, but that He is my particular Creator, and that He is all-wise and all-powerful, it causes me in prayer to have a certain, the word now comes back up, a certain dependence on Him that is, I guess you would say, childlike. I have this ability to go to Him not only with requests. Well, I have this request, I know I'm supposed to take it to God, but there is a childlike simplicity of bringing the things that I have need of to the God who is already supplying everything for me. The problem, of course, is that we are not necessarily in that mode all the time, that God is supplying everything for me. We can say, well, He gives, you know, each lot, each breath. He is upholding all things. But the events, the difficulties of life somehow come closer than that basic understanding that I have, and therefore, instead of being in a wide, broad space that the New Testament calls the liberty of the sons of God, instead, I'm in a relatively cramped and crowded space. The difference between a broad space and a cramped space is dependence. My view of the God to whom I'm coming in prayer. When I see God as providing all things, my basic response, first of all, is worship. And out of worship then comes a heartfelt asking for those things that I have a need of. So dependence then, you can say, is a component of faith. It is a that level of trust that doesn't just say, oh, I have this relationship with God by means of Christ, but I have this this you know, kind of fall back and he'll catch me kind of trust that is ongoing toward him. That contrast is described in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. But then there is this contrast to that trust, and the one whose trust is actually in God, and there is this essentially this flowing river of individual, I can say that, individual strength that follows that statement in Jeremiah 17. So there's a withering effect of the crowded space that I described. There is a revitalizing effect of an actual ongoing trust in God that says now that wherever I have been placed, and here's the crowded room, wherever I have been placed, because of who God is and is to me, it's a good place. That's the trust in God versus the trust in man. And that's the really the theme of that hymn that we just sang. This trust that I'm describing does not take the place of activity. It doesn't say, well, you got it. I'm going to go over here and sit in a chair and wait until all these problems are worked out. The trust that is described in the scripture of which I'm speaking it is a trust that enables activity. That is so often our problem. We want either to be either I got it or you got it, but the fact that it's yours, but here I am required to do all this stuff, is hard for us. But it's necessary. The right trust in God is the trust that says, I know you will make it work out, and I am continuing to be active. So let me attempt to contrast that with what isn't that, besides what Jeremiah said. Without this kind of trust, prayer becomes surely more formal. It becomes, well, I pray for those things that are clearly beyond, you know, what I can possibly be involved with. You know, I'll pray for, you know, I'll pray for the heathen across the lands. I'll pray for medical impossibilities, as somebody has called that, the God of the gaps. Those gaps in our knowledge, gaps in our power as men, well, we'll pray for those things. But the God who says, you pray and you do, requires this kind of dependence that I am describing. If we have this dependence, we will have a greater breadth to our prayer. As I say, it follows naturally from the God of the gaps, the crowded room situation versus the large room situation. If God is in control of everything, I can come to Him and ask Him for these things with confidence that He hears, that He wants to hear from me, that He has ordained my prayer as a part of that which He is doing in His creation. So it takes away that merely formal, that merely, well, these are the categories that I know I pray for, and gives a broader scope to prayer. And also, it gives a proper urgency to prayer, may I say? When I am stinting in my dependence, true basic dependence on God, there is a damming up of the right flow, spiritual flow of emotion that ought to be a part of the Christian life. As I say, prayer becomes more formal. But when I have this broad view, God is the one who, and we have to be able to make this statement, God is the one who is currently taking care of me. And the prisoner in a prison cell in Iran or in China, or you and I in our perceived desperate difficulties, whatever they are, need and will be able to make that statement. And when we can, the barrier, the closeness, the closed-inness is gone, and there is an ability to ask of God with that level of concern that is real. It's no longer, well, these are the things that I'm praying for, tick them off on my list, make sure that I do that. God hears me. There is a right level of urgency for those things. I can petition Him strongly. He's still God. I can't make Him do things, but because He's God, I can pour out my soul in an appropriate manner to Him. There are three psalms that have the same phrase in it that I believe give the sense of this urgency. And that, let me just give one of them, Psalm 60, verse 4. And the phrase is, vain is the help of man. Now that's just a negative of the Jeremiah 17 statement. But this is the psalmist in prayer going to God who performs all things for me and is able to say, there's no one else who controls everything. I have real need. I'm going to express my need as I feel it. And the way that that comes out to Almighty God is to confess to Him that only He can truly help. And that's true at every level of our lives, in every place of our lives. And when we have this level of dependence, and when we see that when we're not there, so to speak, that it is an impediment in our spiritual life, that it blocks at least your prayer and other channels that ought to be flowing normally for the believer. Whatever his circumstance, ought to be flowing normally. Blocked up otherwise. But when I know that dependence, then there is a freedom. Say, only you. Psalm 60, as I say, verse 4, 108, verse 12, if I can read, and 46, verse 3. So the believer then is able to see God as the doer in my life. And this is true whether I'm in good times or I'm in difficulty. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, we are the sheep of His pasture. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. And it's preceded with, come into his presence with gladness. There is this expression of being his sheep, that he has made me. I didn't make myself. What is the implication of that? I am a dependent creature, and the outrush of that is joy. I'm a dependent creature being cared for by Almighty God. The outcome is joy. So when I am perceiving that the Lord is blessing me, there is at the same time this sense of dependence. It's not like, well, knock on wood, it's going okay right now. It's not. God is the supplier of every good thing. I can rejoice that he is giving me. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. There is a coming to him with a freedom that says you are in control of all things. So that's in good things, good times. And then in difficulty, and I've already essentially intimated this, the believer who understands that God is the one who has brought me into a broad place called salvation, will still call the difficulty that he is in good. If you're in difficulty, a good test of your response is, can you say, Lord, I thank you. You have brought me here. Can you say that? If you cannot say that, you're still in the crowded place. The believer says, Lord, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. I may not know what the Lord is doing, but what I do know is that I'm in good hands. There is a continuation, a deepening of that dependence in difficult times. You notice the response that David and the other psalmists give in difficulty. It's a response of dependence. Psalm 62, verses 2 and 6. Notice the modifier. He only is my rock and my salvation. This isn't some general, well, I know God's gonna, he's got a plan, it's gonna be okay. He only is my rock and my salvation. There is this God alone, the God, my God, is currently caring for me. That is your need and my need in a time of difficulty, whether we're talking about a 5-minute pressure at work, we're talking about large personal family situations, when we are bowed down. This dependence on God is the lifeblood of Christian life and of prayer. Psalm 31 is a repeated phrase. It is 31. Psalm 31 is a repeated phrase in difficulty that is an exhortation, trust in the Lord. Now that sounds like, well, that's well done. But there is that ability, that self-exhortation, and it becomes exhortation to others. When I am wanting to have my shoulders slumped in difficulty of any sort, there is the self-exhortation. Trust in the Lord. Now, this is not a mantra. This is based on God's very real, providential, shepherd-like care of me that is real for me this moment. And from that basis, I cry out to Him. This is not the swimmer who's going down for the third time and probably not going to make it. The believer knows that the hand of Christ is there. So we have this basic component of faith that is an ability to lean on, to see the care of, and that impels prayer.